Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Join me as I unveil the stories of goddesses from across time and cultures. We will dive deep into the archetypes and energies that these goddesses embody, and we'll explore the practical applications of goddess wisdom in our daily lives. We'll discuss how to connect with the divine feminine through rituals, meditation, creative expression, and acts of conscious living. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner of goddess spirituality or just beginning your journey, this podcast is for you. Everyone, welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. I'm so glad that you're here with me for today's episode. I really hope you guys are doing well in the midst of this really crazy world. So if you are just starting out on this journey working with goddesses, especially if this is extremely brand new to you and you never thought you'd be doing something like this, I feel you 100%. My goal with this podcast is to shed light on what this journey may look like, what it's been looking like for me, but to answer some questions that you have, or maybe, you know, tackle topics that you've never conceived of, or you just haven't gotten here yet, which is also completely fine. Today's episode is all about information that you get from deity. So as you're aware, relationships with deities are different than relationships with angels or archangels. And it does require devotional work. It does require commitment. It is relationship building and dependent, if you will. Now, some of the information that you get is going to be unverifiable or unsubstantiated. And that may cause you to really question whether or not you are really working with a deity, or if the work you're doing is false. You might even sabotage, you know, your relationship because you start to doubt the deity itself. So I really wanted to talk about this because, again, this is different than what you would usually do. Like the relationships you usually have with angels, archangels, elementals, the elements, so on, and ancestors, so on and so forth, right? This is very different. So I'm talking today about verified personal gnosis and unverified personal gnosis. So first, let's just take a step back and ask, what is gnosis? And why is it important to research this while doing deity work? Well, first and foremost, gnosis means knowledge, and it does go hand in hand when learning from deity. I would say that, you know, when I speak of gnosis, I'm kind of using it here as a euphemism for knowledge that's acquired through your intuition, your insight, or a spiritual event, such as a conversation that you have with a goddess. Now, in the past, these types of insights, if you will, usually they used to be called revelations, like divine revelations that you would have, whether it was audible or whether it was visual, that you would have with a god, goddess, with Yahweh or whomever. You really see this in the Old Testament where a prophet or a seer, as they were first called, would have some sort of divine revelation from above, from God, Yahweh, or whatever, Jehovah, whatever term they utilized back in the day. Right. And it wasn't necessarily substantiated, right? Because they didn't have it recorded. It became a part of the written record later, which is really interesting when I think about this. But those experiences were coined as revelations. But when we think about today, how can we verify that? How can we know that that information is really from that entity? And I think we all question this as we start to build our relationships more, and as we develop a stronger relationship with a goddess, the information that we get from them may actually be contradictory to what's written in historical records, even if the historical record is really minimal at best. Let's talk a little bit about personal gnosis. So personal gnosis refers to your personal experiences that you're going to have with a god or goddess. And of course, this experience means that you're having direct contact with them. Or it may be the engagement of a personal relationship, you know, with a deity or a spiritual entity. Now, this experience, you know, it brings about some form of understanding of the divine. Even, you know, for example, if it's established in mythology or in lore or otherwise. Personal gnosis is our personal interactions with the divine, and it usually is pretty integral to a living religion. And it is the heart of a personal practice. And it kind of is the fuel for public practice as well. I want to explain to you, you know, why it's important for us to understand verified personal gnosis and unverified personal gnosis, because again, these terms are used in the realm of spirituality and even sometimes religious discourse, particularly when it comes to neo-pagans, heathens, polytheists, if you will, which we could be called that, but you don't have to categorize yourself or classify yourself as any of these. So let's talk a little bit about verified personal gnosis. For our purposes, let's just call it VPG, since it is a mouthful. But VPG refers to the personal spiritual experiences or your insights that align with these established spiritual traditions, and they're widely accepted within the community. So these types of experiences, they're often validated by historical texts or cultural practices or even shared experiences amongst practitioners. And they are considered verified because they are in harmony with existing knowledge or beliefs within that community. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example here. So in a neo-pagan community that worships a specific deity, let's say a practitioner experiences a vision of that deity that closely resembles the descriptions we find in ancient texts, and it's pretty consistent with the deity's known attributes. So this experience in itself would be considered your verified personal gnosis because it does align with the established beliefs and practices within that community. Another example is how, let's say we're going to take from Hellenic polytheism, let's take Mr. Zeus, right? We know Zeus is associated with lightning, and we do have historical sources that verify this. So if you, you were in a community or individually were worshiping Zeus and you see him depicted a certain way with a bunch of lightning bolts, whether this is in meditation or you're having some sort of revelation, then this would be considered verified personal gnosis because it can be verified within that community. It can be verified or validated by historical texts and cultural practices. So very easy. So just as an example here, when you start to work with goddesses, you may have a goddess step forward of which you didn't ask for, and you see her in meditation, and let's say you see her, and you may not know who she is, but she has a helmet on, this beautiful white, flowy type of gown or robe. And she is carrying some sort of weapon, an owl, right? Well, you would probably do research online of that goddess, and then you would come to learn that for our purposes, it's Athena. Well, that vision would be verified because all of her attributes or the symbols that are associated with her are going to be represented in that vision. So again, and it's been validated, right, historically, even through historical iconography. So you know for sure that that is Athena. All of this has been verified. So that's kind of an easy thing, right? So in essence, you know, the VPG is your personal revelation or your insight that is consistent with either the recognized teachings or the tenets of a spiritual tradition, or it's, you know, a personal revelation that you have that is consistent with ancient historical texts and depictions and stories of that spirit or deity. Let's go to unverified personal gnosis, or UPG. This can also sometimes during research be referred to subjective personal experience. So UPG refers to a spiritual experience or an insight that deviates from or has no direct basis in this established spiritual tradition. These experiences are going to be pretty unique to the individual, and they're not widely accepted within the community whatsoever. So while they hold personal significance to you, the individual, they may not be recognized or validated by others in that community and people. There's such an uproar about UPG because it can get pretty wild and pretty extreme where it's almost nonsensical, where it's almost to the point where you can tell it's completely fabricated, right? But in just talking specifically to your worship with a goddess, if you start to obtain information from that goddess that is not confirmed or written in historical text, then it's kind of unverified personal gnosis. It's a UPG. If we can't find anything of it mentioned in any traditional lore, then it doesn't mean that it's not true, but this is a personal revelation, a personal experience. This is your personal knowledge that you're getting from them. So let me just give you an experience here. So let's say there is a practitioner of a neo-pagan tradition and they encounter a new deity in a dream who does not appear in any historical texts or any books or anything associated with that tradition. However, the practitioner does feel a deep connection to this deity and begins to incorporate them into their personal practice, despite the lack of validation or recognition from others in their community. Again, this experience would be considered your UPG because it's not supported by the established tradition or shared beliefs. So UPG is an essential aspect of your personal spirituality. However, it should always be understood that UPG, unverified personal gnosis, is yours and not everyone else is required to accept it. So you can always, you know, question whether or not some information that you feel like you need to share, but usually when you're getting personal messages from spirit, from goddess, deity, it's meant for you. It may not be shared by everybody else. It's meant for you. And I'm going to give you a clear-cut example for me personally. So one of the goddesses that I'm learning from is goddess Hera, right? And she's a Greek goddess. She's the Greek queen goddess married to Zeus. She has shared with me that she is a seer. And I have not read that anywhere. And I feel like I've studied her pretty extensively, but I have not read that anywhere. But I've heard it again since then by somebody else. And I doubted it. I really doubted it. But there was a reason she was sharing that with me. So while it may not be able to be confirmed in historical text, this is another tool in her kit that she has available, because we really can't personally limit the number of things that a goddess can do, right? Just because we find it in a book, it doesn't mean those are the only things they're limited to. So the question here is, what happens if your UPG is in direct contradiction to what's written in ancient historical texts? I mean, it's tough in those situations because you don't know, again, am I making this up? Did I mishear you? Did I have an experience that maybe I misunderstood? So those are the types of experiences you may want to consider reevaluating as well. So let me give you an example of this. So let's use Hecate, Greek crone goddess, if you will. Let me say goddess of the crossroads. I feel like I just heard that. So here's my example. So let's say, let's take our conception of Hecate as a crone goddess in how she's classified in much of contemporary witchcraft. While the proper understanding of her in its true faith typically reveals her as a maiden. Okay. Though it's important to note that though classic depictions paint her as a maiden, this doesn't limit her expression to a maiden. However, at the same time, it would be inappropriate to call a historical or traditional depiction. While the lore itself is subject to interpretation and debate when it comes to understanding, you shouldn't expect others to trust their interpretation of the divine experience over the lore. Lore will always carry more weight than somebody's personal gnosis. At the same time, however, that same person doesn't have to accept anyone else's UPGs either. So what's the issue of the UPG? Well, it can be a vital tool, to create a living practice or to honor a deity where there isn't much information about them, right? So by establishing a relationship with this deity, by becoming a devotee, we can learn their likes, their dislikes, their preferences, their offerings, what they look like, things, again, that we can't find in written records, all right? The other question, though, you may have as a practitioner or a devotee is, how do I know, that it's not just my ego talking? What if it's my ego and not the gods? These are such great questions to ask. But I'm sure if you work with any other spirit, you may have to ask yourself the same question as well. How can we verify our UPG for ourselves on a personal level? Great question. One way is, of course, to consider using tools to help verify this information. So you can confirm the information you received by using tarot cards. If you're a tarot card reader, you can do this with oracle cards. You can do this with runes. You can confirm or verify through the use of pendulums. So having like a second tool is always, always helpful to make sure that you didn't misunderstand the information, right? The other thing to mention here is that you need to learn how to discern messages from your own personal ego and from a deity. This is really crucial. This is useful not just for deities, but for all kinds of different beings, right? How do I know it's not me? And we have this question because either the information is contradictory, it's unexpected, or it sounds like us. So if the deity's voice does not sound distinct from your own, then of course you're going to have so much doubt. It's going to become impossible sometimes to trust it. Well, I want to talk to you about discerning messages from your own personal ego and that from a deity. Usually, when it's an egoic message, they can have a tendency to be a little bit self-aggrandizing, right? To pump yourself up. They can be a little bit egotistical. They can make your head, like, inflate your head, essentially, right? On one end. But on the other end of the spectrum, they can be incredibly self-deprecating and fear-mongering. So that's usually how you know it's coming from your own ego. It's fear-based, it's anxious, it's very doubtful, it's suspicious. Perhaps, again, you have an inflated sense of self from it. Messages that you get from deity are going to be quite thoughtful, insightful, and they're not intended to massage your ego, and they're not fear-mongering, okay? Now, while we have spoken on this podcast about the fact that deity is not human like you and doesn't have to act like a human and doesn't have to be what we consider in the New Age community to be all love and light, because they might not be, and chances are they're probably not. They're going to have personalities, expectations, and as Athena tells me, really high standards, so they can get frustrated and upset with us. They're not going to mislead you. They know what you're going through. They know why you're there, and they want to help guide you, but they are going to give you some tough love sometimes. So what happens if the information doesn't align with what you were traditionally taught about that deity, right? Good question here. Very good question. This is where, again, if the information is helpful, if it's expansive to their being, as in it doesn't limit them to only being able to do one or two things, then I would trust that information and kind of dive in deep with that deity to really understand them. And again, all the various tools in their kit. If it is in direct contradiction to what you've been taught, I would dive in again a little bit deeper to see if I misunderstood the first time. Confirm via your tools, whether it's pendulum, oracle cards, tarot cards, at first make sure that you didn't misunderstand. You know, one thing that Athena told me was that the original story, if you will, about Medusa was not true. And she gave me an alternative story. But what's interesting is I could verify that alternative story as well. So sometimes, you know, look a little bit deeper, look for additional sources to verify what you've heard. All right. So again, why is it important to learn about VPG and UPG? Well, it's really important that we understand our sources of insight. So both UPG and VPG, they provide frameworks for understanding the sources of personal spiritual insights and experiences. Recognizing the distinction between the two, it can help the practitioners evaluate the validity and the reliability of their own experiences and the experiences of others. The other reason it's important is for critical thinking and for discernment, right? So learning about UPG and VPG, it really encourages practitioners to approach their spiritual experiences with critical thinking and with discernment. I would hope that it would prompt individuals to consider whether their experiences align with established teachings and traditions, or if they are more personal and subjective. Studying UPG and VPG, it fosters respect for the established traditions and teachings. Practitioners can learn to differentiate between their own personal experiences and the collective wisdom of their religious or spiritual community. And then Lastly, I would say that deity work, it really does involve engaging with gods and goddesses from specific cultural or religious traditions, and understanding the UPG and VPG, it can help practitioners approach these traditions with sensitivity and respect, and hopefully avoiding cultural appropriation or misinterpretation of sacred practices and symbols. So again, just to do a very, very healthy, quick recap here, we have the unverified personal gnosis, or unsubstantiated, we could call it that as well. And that just refers to your personal spiritual insights or experiences that are not supported or confirmed by religious texts, teachings, or traditions. These are going to be insights that are unique to you. And sometimes they may contradict existing beliefs within that tradition. And again, you'll have to reckon with that when that happens, if that happens. So while UPG is considered valid and meaningful to the individual who's experiencing it, it may not be accepted or recognized by the broader community at large. So it's always, you know, using your intuition in terms of whether or not you feel like the information needs to be shared in some way. You know, what's very interesting to me is when I first started to learn from Hera, I would start to get these visions that I needed to be wearing a veil to approach her. And I did it, even though it was awkward at first, right? This is very different. Awkward at first. Now it's just normal for me. And then I heard, and I questioned it. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I questioned it for a while. And then I heard somebody talking about this on a podcast, like months later, about, again, Greek goddesses requiring you to wear, like she had a vision that, I think it was for Hecate, that they needed to be wearing veils to approach her. And I just laughed because I thought, okay, there we go. I needed that. I needed that confirmation. And it came in a very unexpected way and an unexpected time as well. Right. But I do think that you should value UPG as a part of an important part of your personal spirituality and your growth. But others are going to, you know, view it with skepticism and with caution, but you don't have to share it with everybody. It can be personal, and it's personal for a reason. So again, for verified personal gnosis, it does refer to your personal spiritual insights, your experiences that are corroborated by these established religious texts or established teachings or traditions within a very particular belief systems. So these experiences within themselves, they're considered pretty valid, and they are accepted within the framework of the religion because they align with the existing knowledge or practices. So again, just in essence, your VPG is a personal revelation or some sort of personal insight that is very consistent with, you know, the tenets of that spiritual tradition. So I really hope today's talk was helpful for you guys, because you are going to have these very strange experiences when you start working with goddesses. You know, when I first started, I was like, God, I need all the rule books. You know, how do I become a devotee? What are the practices that I have to do on a daily basis? And, you know, I read the ancient text and it tells me how to worship a specific goddess, and I have to bring these tools. But then all of a sudden I have a goddess saying, no, give me this instead. And it seems so random. Like, did I hear that right? Is this correct? Usually trust your intuition on this. It is correct. I'll give you one more example here. I'm a devotee of Hera, and one gift that I saw that she showed me out of the blue to bring her was an apple. And I was like, what? You want an apple? I thought you had pomegranates. And, I just purchased it for her as a sign of my gratitude and offering. And I learned later that, believe it or not, in the ancient past, some people used to give her apples. And so there's just things that we have to learn on trust, as we build on this relationship, as you become more committed and more of a devotee of a specific path, with a goddess. All right, everybody, I had a ton of notes today and I hope I covered everything. Moral of the story is trust. You know, I would say trust a number of your divine revelations, but if things are very suspicious, if you have a lot of doubt, then I would start to do your research and then do confirmation. You always want to verify what you're getting to some extent with your tools. I really hope that this has been helpful, you guys. I know this is kind of like a limited series because I just wanted to kickstart this for you in case you were interested and wanted to know a little bit more about what this relationship looks like. Because for the most part, we are taught that goddesses are mythological, that they're not real. And some people do look at them as a form, as an archetype, right? To have some understanding of their archetype, their personal archetype. But for me, goddesses are incredibly real, so much so that I told you guys at the beginning I never believed in them. And then, lo and behold, I see them in my dreams. I see them in meditation. Sometimes when I'm meditating, I can hear them talk to me. Or I think I told you all that when I went to Greece a few months ago, I was at Delphi and Athena was there. She was talking to me and I did not expect her to be there, but she introduced me to another spirit. It was very interesting experience, right? So for me, it is very, very real. And we've already spoken on this podcast as to how this whole system was kind of dismantled, at least in the ancient classical world. But they are very, very real spirits. So if this is a path that you want to go down, there's a lot of research required, but just note that your commitment and devotion, as redundant as that sounds, it is so necessary. So take that, you know, keep that in your mind as you decide to focus on this path and understand the level of commitment necessary to really be guided and mentored by a specific goddess or a group of goddesses. Everyone, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Please, if you've just started this path, please email me your stories. I am so curious about how this is starting for you. I know that my guide told me that, you know, this will help disrupt the status quo. As crazy as that may sound, like rock the boat. I just heard him say rock the boat. So let's rock the boat a little bit and let's open that door and maybe there's a new type of more gentle, sometimes a little bit more fierce too, empowering wisdom that can come and help ignite the internal engine within ourselves and help us to see things differently, but to approach this world a little bit better. All right, everybody, as always, whatever you do, take care of yourselves.